The following program is furnished by its producer, host, and sponsors.
Tuning in. We are live in the studios and you're listening to Health in 30 on WRCR AM 1300 Radio Rockland. And as always, it's streaming live at WRCR.com. I'm your host, registered nurse Barbara Ficarra. Health in 30 brings you 30 minutes of the latest health and medical news and information with leading guests, medical and health experts. If you haven't visited the healthin30.com website, check it out. Go to healthin30.com. That's healthin30.com. You can listen to audio, sign up for free newsletters, get all of the information from all of the shows, and more. Don't forget to check it out. Go to healthin30.com. If you have any comments or questions, email us. Are you planning your next vacation or business trip? Sometimes the process can become overwhelming, but no worries. Joining us today is Dr. Elif Oker, an ER physician and an insurance company consultant. Dr. Oker will talk about how to stay healthy and safe during traveling. Call in with any questions at 845-624-1300. One quick note, Health in 30 taped the second episode of its online show yesterday at Scribe Media. It'll be online very soon. The topic was the nursing shortage, and Dr. Linda Honan-Pellico, professor at the School of Nursing at Yale University, and Dr. Christine Kovner, professor at the College of Nursing at NYU, joined me, and we talked in detail about the nursing shortage. The nursing shortage affects everyone. So keep checking healthin30.com for more info. It'll be online soon. Now joining us from Chicago is Dr. Elif Oker. Hi, Dr. Oker. How are you?
Hi, Barbara. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Let's talk about free travel planning. This is the time of year when many people are either going on vacation, maybe for spring break or in Easter break or some kind of vacation, or even starting to plan their travel needs for this summer. So take us through actually what people should pack in their travel health kit.
You know, you're exactly right. This is the time of year that everybody prepares for their summer and spring breaks and their travel agendas. Me too, actually. I'm planning a vacation this summer as well. And here's what you got to do. The key to travel health and preparing for hopefully emergencies that will never occur is advanced planning. So before you go, here's some key steps you need to do.
Okay.
You need to research your destination and figure out what kind of medical services are available to you. You need to arrange a visit with your doctor, or at least a phone call with your doctor, to see if you need a checkup and some immunizations, especially if you're going out of the country. And what I advocate is what we call a professional or personal medical history, excuse me. And this is what ER doctors would love to see on any patient who shows up at their doorstep. You can get a copy of one at the American College of Emergency Physicians website, and I can give you that link later.
Sure.
But you want to include on this your name, your address, your emergency contact, the name of your doctor and their contact information, a list of your medications, your medical conditions, any surgeries you had, your allergies, the vaccinations I mentioned, and if you've had an EKG, if you have a heart condition, put a copy of that on there.
That is such great information, and as you mentioned, you that all ER physicians would love everyone to carry this, and that is so true because you can end up in the emergency room during an emergency, and no one knows their history. But if you have everything written down like that, it makes it so much easier. And I don't think many people really realize that they should be carrying this information with them on vacation. They are thinking, oh, they're going on vacation, everything's going to be perfect. But just in case, you want to have this information with you.
Yeah, sometimes when you think you're going to be relaxing and taking it easy, sometimes vacations don't agree with you. And if you have conditions like heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, stroke, dialysis, these are the things that you need to have information about on this little personal medical history. You fold up this piece of paper, you put it in your wallet or your purse, and in my mind, that's probably the most important thing in the health kit that you need.
Right, and you include medications exactly the way you take them, and contact information, emergency contact info, and what else would there... Oh, Al, I guess if you're allergic to things, you would include that on there?
You would include that if you have any devices that you've been implanted in you, like a joint replacement or a special heart stent, a pacemaker. Perhaps having a little card with that information on there would be nice to have. Don't assume that, even if you're traveling in the United States, don't assume hospitals communicate with one another. Don't assume that this information is readily available to anyone. So it's best to have these things on your person so that if something should happen to you and you can't communicate yourself or you're at a place where they can't get the information, at least there's some basic information about you that they can operate from. And that ensures your safety as well as taking care of you to do the best job for you.
Now, should people check out whether or not in advance if their insurance is covered where they're going, or is that really not a concern?
No, it's a big concern.
Okay.
An insurance, even though most people tend to think it's their right,
mm-hmm.
we as a society haven't decided that. Healthcare is not practiced as though it's your right in many instances, and insurance is a big factor in allowing us to access the healthcare system. And you can, just by looking at the reports about the uninsured issue and a lot of patients falling by the wayside because they don't have funds to pay for health care, this is a big factor for traveling as well. So you should take a look at your health insurance policy, if you have one, and call them up or look at their website. Ask them about, are my health care expenses when I'm away from home and out of the network going to be covered? And if you're going overseas, ask them specifically, are they covered overseas? Out of the network in the United States might be different than out of the country.
Now, what happens if you're going to a destination and they're not covered and you need to seek emergency care? What would happen then? Is there any kind of recourse at all? Or?
Well, it depends on the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Some plans will allow for that. What they'll say is, you know, you need to get copies of everything that was done for you overseas or elsewhere and submit them when you come back. But there's some tricks to this because it's not always so straightforward.
Right. Okay.
For example, if you're out of the country, you may not be able to abide by the 24-hour notification requirement some insurance plans have before hospitalization. Time zone differences, language barriers might prevent you from doing that. So you might end up with a denial straight out of the bat because you haven't complied with that restriction. At the same time, documents from certain countries may not be in English. So you might find yourself having to get these things translated into English before you submit them to the insurance company.
Okay. Now, is there anything that could help that process along if you are overseas, if you register with the U.S. Embassy, or how does that work?
Unlikely. Registering with the U.S. Embassy is always a good idea.
Okay.
It's a good idea from a safety perspective. Whether it's going to impact your insurance company reimbursing your health care expenses, it's highly unlikely that that will be the case. But the United States Embassy, if they know where you are and if there's an emergency, they might be able to help you out. Not always. They may not be open to help you out, so you need to kind of take some precautions in advance.
Okay.
One thing to look into is travel insurance. Depending on your policy and what is covered and what is not, it might make some sense to purchase some travel insurance. Many times travel insurance will cover things like payments to providers in real time overseas. It'll cover things like evacuation assistance, translation services, ambulance services overseas, transportation back to the United States in an air ambulance or evacuation situation when you are incapacitated. Say you're hospitalized somewhere and you're going to require a lot of treatment and prolonged care and you really just want to get back home. The cost of transporting you back home may not be covered by most standard health insurance policies, so you might need to purchase something that would allow for that expense.
Okay. Oh, that's great. That's great information.
The other thing I wanted to mention is mm-hmm. just seniors need to keep in mind that Medicare does not cover health care costs outside of the United States.
Oh, really?
No. So there are other insurance plans and gap insurance that can be purchased for trips or coverage that you need to look into if you're under Medicare.
Okay. Wow, that's really interesting. Is okay. Wow.
Yeah, it's a wow, yeah. Right? Because you retire, you think you're going to travel.
Exactly, yeah.
It's definitely something to look at. Now, Medicare laws change frequently, so that is the latest that I know of. It's always good to double-check anything you've ever heard.
That's great to know.
I know the American Association of Retired Persons offers some assistance in that area as well.
So oh, that's
that
great.
Might be a good resource.
Mm-hmm. And what about prescriptions? If you're in need of refilling a prescription, whether you're in the country or overseas, is that a difficult process to get done, or?
Well, not necessarily. First of all, to get on an airplane these days with medication, you need your doctor's prescription stating that this is your medication.
Okay.
That came in with 9/11 and some of the changes to security that came afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing you definitely need is when you go to the pharmacy, ask them to print out a copy of the prescription for you and make sure that your name on the prescription and the bottle match and make sure that that name matches your name on your ticket and your ID or your passport. Having said that, mm-hmm. if you're going to be out of the country for long periods of time, you might want to take extra medications with you. Most pharmacies may not stock sufficient quantities for that. So, for example, if you have thyroid medication that you take every day,
mm-hmm.
and say you usually get a month's supply from your pharmacy and you want 4 months' supply, you have to talk to both your insurance company and the pharmacy in advance to allow time for the medication to be ordered by the pharmacy and filled, and also to make sure that the insurance company will pay for that 4 month supply that you want to take with you.
It's just really pre-planning and being specific. I guess it would really be good if to make a checklist and just check off everything that's done after you go through it, because there's really a lot involved.
There is a lot involved. It's a lot of detail, and it's almost mm-hmm. as if you need a vacation from your planning.
Exactly, right.
Right.
Let's talk about en route when you're, say, flying overseas or even flying within the United States, how important it is for not just to be sitting in one position for such a long time.
Sure. Well, once you've made all these preparations and you're flying, and you definitely want to take some precautions while you're en route, especially if it's a trip more than 2 hours. The main thing that you're referring to is blood clots in the legs, and we call those deep venous thromboses. Those can happen to people who are susceptible when they're sitting in one position or laying in one position for long periods of time and not getting up and moving around. So the trick to all of that is get up and move. If you're on an airplane and you're in one of those tight seats and you're cramped,
mm-hmm.
airline people know this real well. So as long as the seatbelt sign is off, they're going to let you move around the cabin. And so walk every hour or so, or even every 2 hours. And walk up and down the cabin, stretch your legs, flex and bend your knees, and people aren't going to look at you as weird. In fact, the flight attendants know about this. They won't be surprised by it, and they will encourage it.
How common are the DVTs developing from flights?
Not very common.
No, okay.
Not very common mm-hmm. at all. If you have no risk factors, it's very unlikely. But you know what? Why take your chances?
Right. And it's good just to get up and circulate anyway.
Exactly. The people who need to worry about this quite a lot are people who have a genetic predisposition to these blood clots.
Okay.
People who are overweight.
Mm-hmm.
People who've had surgery recently. And women who are pregnant or who've just delivered.
Okay.
Those are the folks that are at risk. But, you know, it's good. It's good health for everyone. And actually behind the reason the flight crews always bring around the water on the long flights, because hydration helps as well.
Right. Okay. All right. Great. What other information for flying? If you're going overseas now, depending where you go, you may need some different kind of shots. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure.
Now, is that for? It's only for specific areas that you would go to. I would imagine that you would need some certain things.
Certain places in the world are present an increased risk of certain diseases, some infectious diseases like typhoid, malaria, things like that, that you might want to take precautions against. The best resource I've found for that is the Centers for Disease Control have a lovely part of their website for traveler health.
Okay.
And you can type in that link, you can go to the country that you're going to, and they will detail what the immunization recommendations at the time are.
Oh, that's
great. They keep that pretty current. Now, the trick to these immunizations are a couple of things to keep.
Mm-hmm.
First, you should be up to date on your basic immunizations that we all need.
Okay.
The childhood immunization,
right.
Some of those require boosters depending on when you got them as a child. Certainly measles was an issue a few years ago. Now whooping cough has come back into the forefront. Some of the adults may not be covered by their pertussis vaccinations or whooping cough vaccinations from their childhood vaccines because it sort of ran out over time, if you will. So you might need a booster there. Tetanus is another one that you might need a booster for. That's something you can check with your doctor about. These special travel ones like typhoid, yellow fever, or the pills that you might need for malaria prophylaxis, you can ask your doctor about them, but chances are your doctor's office is not going to have them in stock. And for that, there are travel medicine clinics.
Oh, okay.
And those folks have stockpiles of these things, and they're authorized by the government to carry some of these immunizations, and they know how to prescribe the malaria prophylaxis.
Now, where would you go to find a travel medicine clinic? Where is there a website that lists them throughout the country? Or
there are. There are some websites. Okay. The first place I would start is with your doctor's office.
Okay.
You're probably not the first person in the practice to travel, and they may have some clinic that they like to refer to.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And so that's the first place. If you strike out there, the next institution to try in your community is the local medical center or university hospital. Many times they have an affiliated travel clinic. I think that gives that clinic a little bit of credibility. You can feel a little comfortable if they're affiliated with that big institution. Another great resource, couple great resources, are the State Department's website.
Okay.
And a website called Travel Medicine, Inc. also lists some of the travel clinics throughout the country. And there's a last one called the International Association of Medical Assistance to Travelers, and also a great resource. And I can give you all of these websites.
Oh, great. Okay.
But
would you be able to put it all into a little writing piece for the website?
We'll work on it.
Okay.
We'll work on it.
That'd be great.
But those are the folks that will carry these unusual vaccines. They can counsel you about the side effects and how they're given and what kind of precautions you need to take in the areas that you're going to. Keep in mind, travel clinic costs are generally not covered by common insurance. This is something that you might need to pay for out of pocket.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. For those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to Health in 30 on WRCR AM 1300 Radio Rockland. And as always, it's streaming live at WRCR.com. I'm your host, registered nurse Barbara Ficarra. Today we are talking with ER physician and insurance company consultant Dr. Elif Ocher. And she's talking about how to stay safe and healthy while traveling. Call in with any questions, 845-624-1300. Let's talk about traveling by a cruise ship. Motion sickness. What would you do? I'm sure many people are inflicted with that when traveling by sea. So what would they do to prevent that?
Well, you know, some people are more afflicted than others, unfortunately for them. But on a cruise ship, it's often suggested that try to select your cabin in the forward or middle of the ship and on the upper decks if you can. Those areas tend to rock less, and that would help. The other thing to do is kind of look off at the horizon or at the distance instead of, like, trying to read something, which tends to make you more nauseous. You can try and rest your head back a little bit. That helps both on ships and planes. Try to avoid overeating, challenging foods that are, you know, spicy, things like that might upset your stomach to add to your misery. Alcohol is not a good thing to take when you're not feeling so well. There are some over-the-counter prescription and prescription medications that can be helpful. I would say before considering taking any of these, talk to your doctor and see if they're okay for you to take. But common things like Dramamine or Scopolamine have been suggested for these sorts of conditions. But again, talk to your doctor before taking anything specific.
Sure. And do they normally work okay, those?
Yeah, most people find them pretty effective. They do have some side effects. Depending on medical conditions you may have, you might want to check again with your doctor. For instance, scopolamine should be used with much caution if you have heart problems, asthma, glaucoma, those kinds of things. In fact, many people would say don't take it. So it's very individualized.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But now, that's what you can do, and hopefully that will be enough for you to enjoy your trip. The other caution on cruise ships is you've been hearing a lot of this diarrhea outbreak.
Right, yes.
It's something to remember. On these things, there's lots of people, even though the ships are big, it's a small, confined space. And there's buffets, and people don't always wash their hands so well. So good hand washing is something to keep in mind, and if the food looks like it's been sitting out for too long, don't eat it.
Right, yeah. With the hand washing, that's a good point. And the little hand sanitizers, those work wonders. And I probably everybody should just carry those around with them because, like you said, there's lots of people and, you know, people go to the bathroom and they don't wash their hands and it's just being passed into different areas and it's easily, you can easily just pick something up. So
I think nurses are better at this than physicians are.
Washing hands?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, now, okay, I was gonna, never mind. I was going to say something.
But no, I think the hand sanitizers, even the little hand wipes, those are great things to carry with you. With some of the liquid restrictions on air travel, the hand sanitizers might be difficult to bring on board with the amount that you need for your trip, but packages of the wipes would probably be okay to take with you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They might not cause the security people to look twice. So, either one. Good hand washing is always the best. And then if you can't wash your hands, one of those two things.
Just go back. I know in the very beginning we were just talking about the health kit and you were about the bringing the medical history. And what else would you bring and, you know, your medications, prescriptions and all that? What else would be a good thing to have with you, in case for emergencies or...
Sure.
Just to go through a checklist.
Well, what I would have is... before taking any medication, check with your doctor specifically if that medication is good for you. But having said that, something for diarrhea.
Okay.
You can get over-the-counter medications to slow diarrhea down. You might want to talk to your doctor about taking a small course of antibiotics with you for some traveler's diarrhea issues while traveling that you can start if you should have symptoms that your doctor agrees with, for instance, fever, frequent diarrhea for... you know, over a period of 8 to 12 hours.
Oh, you can get a prescription in advance?
You can take some pills with you advance,
okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just have it with you, and your doctor can educate you about the signs and symptoms to look for, and if it's a mild case, that might help you out. Some doctors aren't advocates of taking antibiotics with you. Others are fine with it. It really depends on your situation, but people do take anti-diarrheal medications to slow the diarrhea down and antibiotics with them in case they should get some E. coli or something like that while they're traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Allergy medications are something to consider, like antihistamines, or if you have severe allergies, an EpiPen.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There are EpiPens for adults and for children, and they're different. It's not the same pen for both groups, so you need to make sure that your child has medications appropriate for them.
Okay.
Motion sickness medications we just talked about are good. Cold and cough medications and pain relievers. Don't assume that, in the United States, it's pretty easy to walk into a pharmacy and find your familiar brands, right? But if you're overseas, don't assume they have the same brands we do.
Right.
They might have different brands with different ingredients, or they might have a similar brand, you know, but not quite the same.
Mm-hmm.
And many times the packaging is not in English, so... you're better off taking things you're familiar with. Antacids, insect repellent.
Oh, okay.
I would put a little Ziploc bag of Band-Aids, gauze, some antibiotic ointment, antifungal cream together, maybe a tweezer if you're going to places where you might have ticks.
Mm-hmm.
Sunscreen.
Oh, okay.
A digital thermometer.
That's good, too.
Those basic things. It's like your little medicine chest in your bathroom, you know. Put a small version of that together because when you're traveling, you may not have access to a pharmacy, and if you do, you might not find what you're familiar with, and it's always comforting when you're sick.
Right.
Have the things you know work for you.
Now, if you're on an airplane, are any of these of concern? Can you carry all of these on with you, or do some have to be in your suitcase?
You know, some of these might have to be in your suitcase. It would depend on how large the packaging is.
Okay.
And, you know, you always worry that your luggage is going to get lost. What you might want to do is carry small quantities with you in your carry-on bag and then put larger quantities in your suitcase so at least you have something with you if your suitcase should get lost.
Right.
But I would check with each individual airline because it seems that these regulations tend to change frequently.
Right. Okay. Well, that's really great. And so I hope everyone that's listening, if they're planning a trip, they can just kind of jot all this information down and make themselves like a checklist, and it would be easy to relieve any kind of stress in advance so they can get this all out of the way and then enjoy their vacation when they go.
And hopefully they won't use any of it.
Exactly, yeah. Right. But it's good to have it just in case.
It is. You know, the one thing I wanted to mention since I mentioned children, if you're, especially if you're flying or in a car, you want to make sure you have the appropriate child safety seat or that's, child safety device.
Right, right, that's a great point.
That's something mm-hmm. most people may not think about. And when you're going overseas, don't assume that your car seat will fit the cars overseas. So you want to make sure that you have the proper size car seat for where you're going, or you might want to make arrangements to purchase something when you're there.
That's great information. What else flying with kids or traveling with kids would come into play as well? I know you had mentioned, too, about carrying, you know, an EpiPen if they need that, any of their medications. But what else for children? Is there anything specific?
Well, you would want a separate personal medical history for your child.
Right,
because,
okay.
You know, obviously it's a different story. The other thing I think would be helpful is to research the area that you're going and make sure that you have access to a pediatrician who's qualified to take care of, you know, child's emergencies where you're in that location.
Okay.
Try and get that information in advance.
Now, you would probably be able to call the hotel, I would imagine, right?
The
and
hotel.
They would be able to give you the information.
You know, that's a great resource, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And many times the hotels have English-speaking folks at the reception and who have previous experience with these physicians. That's one great resource as well. But try and have these things sort of in the back of your mind if you should need them, because especially with an ill kid, you don't want to scramble at the last minute. You're already frazzled if your child is ill and you're away from home.
Right.
You kind of want to have this stuff readily available to you. And then the other thing with kids, our kids are very susceptible to things like dehydration, diarrhea,
okay,
and too much exposure to the sun. I mean, they're smaller than we are. The bacteria where they're going is something new to them. They haven't been exposed to as many things as you have as an adult. So there's somebody to pay particular attention to, and watch them when they're brushing their teeth. You know, don't let them, in certain areas of the world, brush their teeth with tap water. Make sure they're brushing their teeth with bottled water. If they're taking a bath in the bathtub, you might want to maybe switch that over to a shower so the risk of drinking the bath water while they're playing in the tub is less.
That's really great information. Now, you don't really think about that. You automatically go into the bathroom to brush your teeth. You're really not thinking about the water. You're just, you know, it's coming out of the tap, and you're thinking it's okay to use. But you're absolutely right. You really need to be aware of that.
Especially in certain areas of the world. You know, bottled water, I can't emphasize that enough. And the bottled water, be very careful. In some places, when I've been traveling, some people are unscrupulous, and they will refill old bottles of water, and the seal will be loose. So make sure when you're purchasing bottled water overseas, that seal is secure and tight and hasn't been tampered with in any way.
Now, the bottled water overseas, though, if it's secure, though, is that water still bottled water that's been through a screening process, or is it is it the same that you would get in the United States, or is it a different type of...
You know, in my experience, if you're buying it from a store mm-hmm. or a hotel or a place like that, it's bottled water as we would have here. You know, it's
okay.
sanitized or purified in some fashion.
Okay, great. Okay.
But if you're in some very remote part of the world, you know, you got to be careful. You can buy a water purifying kits with tablets that you can drop in the water, or you can boil the water vigorously to make sure that it's... free and clear to drink. But the things that I think most people don't think about, especially with children, are still like, you know, the toothbrushing, the bathing. If you're in swimming pools, you want to make sure that there's drowning concerns. The safety equipment in some parts of the world may not be the same as we have here.
Right.
The other thing to think about with kids is unpasteurized milk products. You want them to avoid that. So ice cream is something to kind of pay attention to. It's not always pasteurized.
Okay. Wow. Such great information. So I hope everyone listening that's planning their trip takes this into account. Dr. Elif Ocher, thank you so very much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And the website again for the Centers of Disease Control.
It's www.cdc.gov.
Okay, great. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thanks. And don't forget, healthin30.com has a contact section. If you have any comments or questions, email us. Let us know at healthin30.com. Next week, join us on February 16th. We are going on location to New York City to the Open Center for a live broadcast. The Open Center is a nonprofit holistic learning center offering evening events, full-day workshops, ongoing classes, advanced trainings, and graduate degree opportunities. Go to healthin30.com for more info. I'm Barbara Ficarra for Health in 30. Have a great week. See you then. Bye.
Another match tried, still wrong. Late night.